Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, although his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a worshipper of Gaura Gadadhar, and he advocated that. He said, by worshipping Gaura Gadadhar, one will attain the service of Radha Madhava. And he has several bhajans like that. So I guess that will be someone will have some samskaras from last life coming in contact with such a conception that he would continue in this life to worship Gaura Gadadhar. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he didn't establish, that I know of, maybe one, Gaura Gadadhar temple, but mostly he established everywhere Mahaprabhu, Rasaraj Mahaprabhu. He established 64 temples. I think there's only two exemptions. One is in Champahati Gaudiyamath. There he established Gaura Gadadhar, and also in Mamagachi. At any rate, you're asking about the worship of Gaura Gadadhar. I can't say too much about that other than, you know, the point we left off about is Gaura Nitya, how Prabhupada established Gaura Nitya everywhere. For obvious reasons, that Gaura Nitya represents Krishna and Balaram, and that's the mood of Dasya and Sakya, and mercy, and Guru Tattva, and all the things that Gaura Nitya represent. So that would be certainly appropriate for the majority of the people of the world. Gaura Gadadhar Tattva is pretty esoteric. There's two male personalities, Gadadhar and Gaura, and one's actually female. The male, and especially in the West, and there's so many kinds of perversions, and people dressing up as girls, and girls dressing up as guys, and guys thinking they're girls, and all kinds of. There's all kinds of weird perversions over there. So, but two brothers, that's a little bit easier to digest. There's two male forms, Gaura Nitya, and they're the saviors, Patita Pavan Avatar, and they save Jagai and Madai, and they're chanting Hare Krishna, and preaching, it's quite appropriate. And a later stage of refinement or advancement in bhakti, one may feel an inner calling to have some attraction to Gaura Gadadhar or pursue some interest in Gaura Gadadhar. Although I read about it, I read some things about it here and there, articles by Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, Sridhar Dev Goswami. And sometimes here and there, some songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and some also articles where he says, unless one worships Gaura Gadadhar, he cannot enter the pastimes of Radha Krishna Vrindavan, things like that. But practically applying it in my own daily bhajan, or just, you know, understanding how to go about that, it's somehow the inner attraction is never genuinely awoken in me for that type of worship. So I can't really comment too much about it other than that. Because I see the immediate, teachers that we follow, which is my own Gurudev, and then my Param Guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and his leading disciples, whom I've met, some of them, and read their teachings, they don't so much make any emphasis on Gaura Gadadhar, at least outwardly, or in their writings. So it doesn't appear that there's a very public campaign or much of a widespread broadcasting of this worship. So I kind of get the idea that it's either some individual revelation that one attains and gets inner guidance along with that revelation in the specifics of the worship, or it's not so necessary. That we worship. The more emphasis on worshipping Nitya and Gauranga, Nitya and Guru principle, and Nitya for getting the mercy. You know, generally our bhajans and our bhajan, we're taught to do bhajan through Nityananda. One should worship Nityananda and then get his mercy, and then with the mercy of Nityananda one can approach Gauranga. With Gauranga's mercy, one can approach Radha and Krishna. That's the way I was trained up in ISKCON, and Gaudiyamath presents a similar idea. And that's kind of the path I'm following. or Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have, everything has to be shastrically based. So our primary shastras, they don't, in terms of the Gaudiya Vedanta, they don't talk too much about Gaura Gadadhara. So it's so secret, it's not written about. I mean, you're asking that very question, how do I learn more about it? So I guess if there's really a, if it's not just a passing curiosity, if it's a burning greed, lobha, genuine greed, then of course I'm sure the Super Soul will lead you accordingly to connect you with a proper Shiksha Guru or whatever to satisfy your burning greed to worship Gaura Gadadhara. Ishara Sarabhutanam Ridesha Junitishati Brahmiyan Sarabhutani Yanchadrudani Maya. The machine is, this machine of the body is driven by greed. So some greed that's beyond our capacity to fulfill, then maybe the Super Soul can fulfill. Spiritual greed. That type of greed is wanted. And that type of greed can be arranged, that fulfillment of that greed can be arranged by Bhagavan. He will lead us to sadhus, he will lead us to the right shastras. And
so then, understanding that Gadadhara Pandit is helping Lord Chaitanya have Radha Bhava in, is only applicable really in his Puri pastimes and not so much in Navadvipa Lila.
Yeah, from what little, as I said, I'm really quite not much versed in Gaura Gadadhara Tattva. But from what little bit I understand, if we examine the pastimes that are available for inspection from our general readings, I mean, I've read other things outside, you know, from the some subsequent writers of Gaudiya Siddhanta, Gaura Govinda Gutika, and other books like this are written by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Maybe outside of our immediate line, you could say. But they generally show that the projection, for example, if you read Jagannanda Pandit's, which we claim, of course, many, as I mentioned the other day, many of the Bhavajis, they don't accept this book, Prem Vivarta, written by Jagannanda Pandit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he printed this book, and his son, Bhaktisiddhanta, also printed it in Bengali, and we have it in English by Sarvabhavana. And there's some interesting things there, but there's many descriptions there of Gaura Gadadhara. And in the Mayapur Leela, Navadvipa Leela, Lord Chaitanya and Gaura, we see that they're best of friends, first of all. And of course they're both pundits, both Brahmins, Gadadhara Pandit, Nimai Pandit. They're both Brahmins by birth, and they're schoolmates, and they're only 1 year difference, just like Radha and Krishna. So they were always together, and they were like in Sakiras, and they were just friends. Gadadhara was always in a mood of serving Lord Chaitanya, Dasya and Sakya. And it's pastime, you read the pastimes where Lord Chaitanya, when he started to feel some separation from Krishna, then he's asking, where is Krishna? And someone says, he's in your heart, and he wanted to rip open his chest like Hanuman. And then Gadadhara was there and said, no, you don't do that. Then Sachimata said, you can control my son, you should always stay with him. That's pastime is there, I think it's in Chaitanya Bhagavad. You can control my son, so you should always stay with him to protect him, because he absorbed in his own ecstasies. So there, even from the beginning, we see that Gadadhara, aside from being a friend and a servant, but he's also in the mood of Radharani, because only Radharani controls Krishna by her love. So knowingly or unknowingly, Sachimata appointed Gadadhara to control Lord Gauranga. Because Sachimata understood, or whatever, that no one else in Navadvipa can control Gauranga except Gadadhara. And just as no one else in Vrindavan, no other gopi, even there are millions of gopis, and not certainly not Yashoda or Rohini or any other mother, can control Krishna except, not even Balaram, with the speaking of them. No one can control Krishna except like Radharani. But in these other readings, because in our general readings present their relationship of Sakya and Dasya, friends, and that Gadadhar is doing service. But in other Gaudiya writings from different Babaji's and whatnot, so-called realized souls, are famous siddhas and whatnot. And they talk about the Astakali Leela of Gaur. And then they say that, you know, in Navadvipa he's in the mood of Krishna. There are so many moods are going on in Navadvipa. The Garanga Nagari Bhav, that's also in one sense in the spiritual world that may be going on. But here it's not so much appreciated. Although some of those Parishads from there came here and wrote songs about it. Lochandas Thakur, Narahari Thakur, Marigupta, he also has an expansion in that Leela, another form. So it's not to be propagated in this plane. Our acharyas say, not to be followed or worshipped and seen in that light, but it may be in that light. Because Gaur Leela is the same as Krishna Leela. Gaur and Vishnu Priya, Krishna, Radharani has her husband, and then she's running with Krishna. So in Gaur Leela, Krishna has his wives, and he's running with other ladies. So it's like this. So Gadadhar, when we read some of these writings, it explains that Gadadhar is Radharani. So Radharani is like the illicit lover of Krishna. Of course, Krishna is not married, but Radharani is. So it's paramour. So Gadadhar's relationship with Gaur in Navadvip is like paramour. Because Gaur has his wives, official wives, two wives, Lakshmi Priya, and she doesn't die of a snake bite, Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya, and Nitya Navadvip. But then Gaur runs out every night to have Rasa dance in Shiva Sangam with all the men. But all the men are also ladies, because they also have their Mandri Sarups and their Sakhi Sarups, because it's like you go in this room and everyone's dressed as a man. And then you open the door and go in there, and everyone goes in there and then change their clothes and you go in the other room and say, oh, everyone's dressed as a lady. Hey, you were just in the other room. You were dressed as a coward boy. Now you're looking like a lady, long haired. No, that was another me. So it's like this. They have these twin forms. They have these twin roops, swaroops, and Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela. And they're just interchanging. They're just one moment it's Krishna Leela, next minute it's Gaur Leela. That's why one minute Gauranga's in at Akura Ghat, then he's under Imliktala, and he's in Gaur Leela. Then he sits under the tree and remembers Radharani's coronation, and then he remembers him coming there and seeing it. So then Gaur gets into Krishna Bhava and turns blue in color. So there he is. He's now, which Leela is he in? He's in Gaur Leela. He's Gaur, but he's in Krishna Leela. So he's Krishna. Is he Krishna and Gaur Leela, or is he Gaur and Krishna Leela? Because Leela is one. It's only Vrindavan Leela, but it has like these two chambers, two rooms in the same house. Navadvip and Vrindavan. Braj Mandal and Navadvip Mandal. So then Gauranga goes to Shiva Sangam, and then they have Ras Leela. Swarup Damodar is there, Rai Ramananda is there. All the Parishads are there, and they, Swarup Damodar, Rai Ramananda, they start singing so many bhajans and songs, Ras Leela. And Rasa Gita and all these things. And then they start entering a bhav. They start entering the bhav of in Vrindavan. This is Rasa Leela. Then Gadadhar is in the mood of Radharani. And Gadadhar is preparing tambul and offering tambul. Like Radharani is offering tambul. Tambul is like pan. You chew on it. Makes me feel good. Flavorful spices. Betel nut and cardamom and all these different things mixed together. So then Gadadhar is in Radhabhav. And Krishna and Gauranga is in Shambhav, Krishna Bhav. And then they have union, they dance, then they sleep, they go to a flower bed and they sleep together in the flower bed. But they're just lying there and remembering, you know, that we're Radha and Krishna. Then the fanning is going on and everything is just like it's Nikunj Leela with Radha and Krishna after the Rasa dance and Nidivan. But it's in Shiva Sangam and it's Nitya Navadvipa and it's Gaur Gadadhar. This is very esoteric, very high thing, but this is what I heard and what I've read about Navadvip. The Gadadhar's mood there is, you know, in the daytime it's like Sakya Ras and Dasya Ras, and you know, the, you know, Vishnu Priya is there, and Then in the morning he comes home, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and some others, they explain the Tilila of Gaur in a summary way. And sometimes they explain that he spends the night with Vishnu Priya. After the Rasa dance, he comes home. And some other acharyas say that, maybe Rupa Goswami in his 8 prayers summarizing Lord Chaitanya. Others say that he spends the night in Srivasangam, in the flower bed with Gadadhar. So these are all alaukik lila, transcendental pastimes.
This idea of union in the Bapaji's writings, or is it in our immediate line of acharya?
Well, Gaura Gadadhar's Astakali lila, Gadadhar's role in Ranga's Astakali lila and their union and sleeping together, I have only seen that in the writings of the Babaji's. I don't recall seeing it specifically in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings. But the basic idea is that, if what is true to one is true to the other. Because if Gaura Gadadhar are Radha and Krishna, and that's the tattva, so there's tattva vichar and lila vichar. So the tattva is one, the lila should be one to some extent. Is Navadvipa the same as Vrindavan or not? And the general consensus is, among Bhaktivinoda and others, is yes, it is. That Navadvipa is Vrindavan, Vrindavan is Navadvipa. There's Govardhan there, there's Radhakund there, there's everything there. So that means there's Rasa Lila there, and there's Yamuna there, the Ganga's Yamuna, and everything's there. So that's why they say Nagari Bhav must also be there, because in Krishna Lila and Vrindavan, Krishna's running with all the wives of others. So Gauranga is also Krishna, so he must be running with the wives of others, but not the wives of coward men, but the wives of Brahmins. But they're only his expansions. Nijarupataya kalabi goloka evanivasat yakila mabhuto. Right? It says that verse, ananda chinmaya rasavrti bhavitavis. Goloka evanivasat yakila mabhuto. He says, I'm living in Golok. My nivas is in Golok. What is it? Nijarupataya kalabi. He says, Nijarupataya kalabi. All these bodies are simply my own, Nija Rup. They're my own. These bodies, these Kala, all these expansions, Radharani, Balaram, they're all me. It's me dancing with me. It's me embracing me. It's me kissing me. It's me lying down with me. It's me having union with me. So there's no impropriety there. There's no immorality. There's nothing wrong there. It's all transcendental. They say alaukik, a nice word, alaukik.
But is that also written in the Bhattaji, or is it in?
Well, that's our writings also. He's an enjoyer. He's living with his wife. He's not feeling separation. In other words, there's two aspects of Krishna's lila: Vipralamba and Sambhog. Sambhog means enjoying, complete enjoyment. Sambhog, enjoying means being united with your friends. Enjoying with your friends. And Vipralamba means to be separated. Union and separation. So Krishna is sometimes with his friends and sometimes not. Sometimes with his lovers and sometimes not. Sometimes with his mother and father, sometimes not. So this, like Gaura Govinda Maharaj says, two banks of a river. The river is Lila Nadi. And one bank of the Lila Nadi is Sambhog. And the other bank of the Lila Nadi, Nadi means river, pastime river, is Sambhog. And Vipralamba. So, Lord Chaitanya, it's very clear in all of our writings, Bhaktivinoda and Chaitanya Charitamrita everywhere, that the mood of Lord Chaitanya in his sannyas lila is the mood of Vipralamba. The mood of Radharani when Krishna went to Mathura and Uddhava came to visit her. That's exactly what's said in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That mood of that unmad, Mahabhav and unmad, Divya unmad. That Uddhava saw when he came to Uddhava Kyari in Nandagram and met the gopis. That's explained in Madhya Lila. That's the mode of Lord Chaitanya and Puri. That means it's Sannyas Lila. Sannyas Lila is everywhere searching for Krishna. We don't see that in Mayapur. Mayapur, he's the proud scholar. He's Bhagavan. He's all Aishwarya is there. Aishwarya, grandeur. And he's surround, all his friends are there. Sambhu. Everyone's there. His wives, he's Mahabhru Sanyasi, he's all alone. He's just running all around India by himself. You know. There's some one crazy servant or whatever with him, you know, Kala Krishnadas or Balabhaja or whatever. But in Navadvip, everybody's there. All his friends are there, all his schoolmates are there, all his teachers are there, his wives are there, his mother's there, his father's there, everyone. This is Sambhog. Mm-hmm. Sambhog, this is, and this, there's, where is he in Radha Bhav? Where is there any example where he's crying out in separation from Krishna? He's in Krishna Bhav. Radha Bhav is Gaur Leela. Sannyas Leela is Radha Bhav. Because he's both. So if you say he's both, then both leelas must be expressed. If he's Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya, if he's none other than Radha and Krishna, then how can he only be in Radha Bhav for his whole life? 24 years of his life he's in Krishna Bhav, and 24 years of life in Radha Bhav. But 24 years of his life he's in Sambhu, and some small separation also, because he goes out with his friends and then his wives are missing him or whatever. But the overriding mood of Navadvipa is Sambhog. There's happiness, there's no tragedy. This sadness, so-called sadness, or externally looking like sadness, internally ecstasy, a Viparlamba Bhav, that's Sannyas Leela. That's 24 years of Viparlamba. You don't read anywhere in Mayapur grinding his face on the wall and, you know, beating his head against the wall and bleeding from the mouth and, you know, just crying tears of ecstasy in Sankirtan and, you know, defeating the demons and going against the Kazi and organ. This is all Krishna mood.
And Shiva Sangam is their mood is not like Ras Leela.
What I've seen in some of the other writings by Gaudiya Acharya is they say that all, just like, you know, Narada Muni, he's an Narayan Bhakta. So his mood is Aishwarya Mayi Bhakti. But then even Narada becomes a gopi. He comes in the Braj Leela, and Narada Kundi does tapasya, then Purnamasi bathes him in Kusan Sarovar, and he gets a chance, and even Shiva gets a chance to become a gopi, to experience Madhurya Leela and Braj. And of course he writes so much about it anyway. So they explain that all these other personalities, they also have their gopi and mandri sarups. I'd wait to have even they go far as to say that Gadadhar has a mandri sarup also. They give the name also Sobhagya Mandri or something. So when Gaur goes into Gaur is in Puri and Radha Bhav, then Gadadhar is not also Radharani, and Gadadhar assumes his mandri sarup and nourishes Radharani's Radha Bhav by speaking to Bhagavatam from the angle of vision of a Mandri or Sakhi. These are very esoteric things. But they also say Vaitacharya, he also has some Mandri or Sakhi Rupa also.
So that's why
So everybody in Shiva Sangam to facilitate this Ras Leela. Because in Ras Leela there's only one male, as you know. There's one Purusha. Everyone else is Prakriti. So everyone's there in Shiva Sangam and nighttime nocturnal pastimes, Rasalila Kirtan, they all have male forms, but everyone is in the Prakriti Bhav. Everyone's in Gopi Bhav, except Gauranga, and he's in Krishna Bhav, he's in Purusha Bhav, Purushabhiman. And so they're all in that Bhav, and they're singing songs and he's enjoying. And they're all acting in this Prakriti Bhav of Mandris or Sakis to nourish and enhance and expand the pleasure and enjoyment of Gauranga.
So even Nityananda?
Yeah, Nityananda also. Of course, Nityananda is an Anga Mandri. That's pretty clear. Because Nityananda is a male and he has a Mandri form, or she's like Sakhi, kind of a combination of Sakhi Mandri in activities. An Anga Mandri, so Vaitacharya is also Vishnu Tattva. Balaram is also Vishnu Tattva. And Vaitacharya also has his form. And Gadadhar is, of course, already Shakti Tattva. And he's Radharani there in Shiva Sangam. Shakti Shakti Manaveda Vinatvam. There's no difference between Shakti and Shaktiman. Shakti becomes, can become Shaktiman, Shaktiman can become Shakti. Just like, you know, Krishna becomes Shakti in the Swapna Amrita Vilas. In Vishnu Chakravarti, he tells about a dream. Radharani had a dream. And she said, oh, in my dream I saw this beautiful golden youth. Swapna Amrita Vilas. Radharani woke up in the flower and in the Ikunj one day with Krishna after Rasalila. And she said, oh, Krishna, I had an astounding dream last night. I dreamed there was this beautiful golden youth. He had lotus eyes and long flowing hair. And he was walking along the bank of a river, very much like this river Yamuna. But it wasn't the Yamuna. It was kind of greenish in color. And he was surrounded by so many people were there. And they were all chanting, singing, and dancing. Very much like we Sakis and Manjris do with you in the Rasa dance. We chant and sing. And when I was seeing this golden youth in my dreams, I felt so much attracted. But I was thinking, who is this? Who is this golden youth? And I didn't see any, it was only him. If this golden youth was me, then where were you? And if that golden youth was you, then where was I? So I was bewildered. I couldn't understand who this golden youth of my dreams was. This Radharani spoke this once. She woke up in the flower bed. Then Krishna, at least that's told like this by Vishnu. Krishna then, he had a slight smile on his face, as he was like playing a joke on Radharani. And then he illuminated his Kaustubha gem on his chest. His Kaustubha gem. He made it like a television screen. And Radharani looked in that and she saw that pastime. And then Krishna told her, he said, actually in the future in Kali Yuga, I will take your Kanti and Bhav. I will take your color and your love, your mood of love, your Mahima, Pranaya Mahima, Radhika Pranaya Mahima, the greatness of your Pranaya, your love. And then I will taste that swadhanam, and I will distribute that, and I will take on your color. So all of these, what you saw, this is all my associates. They will come, all the gopis, manjris, they will come, males, and will engage in sankirtan. This is the Ganga River. So you will become, you will join with me in one. We will go together. Radha Bahir Krishna, Bahir Radha Antar Krishna. So Krishna, this was revealed even 5,000 years ago. Krishna revealed to Radharani. So in this dream, it's showing that the Shaktiman becomes Shakti. Krishna is Shaktiman, but then he's showing I'm becoming Shakti. So Shaktiman and Shakti, there's no difference. So Shakti becomes Shaktiman, Shaktiman becomes Shakti. So these Shaktiman, Vishnu Tattva, he becomes Shakti. Balaram or Nityananda, he is Vishnu Tattva, he's Shaktiman. But then he becomes Ananga Manjari, and that's Shakti. So Shaktiman is becoming Shakti. Or Shakti is becoming Shaktiman. Radharani is becoming Krishna. So then Shakti becomes Shaktiman, or Shaktiman becomes Shakti. That's why it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shakti, Shaktiman Abheda. There's no difference. Mati or Abheda. Shakti, Shaktiman, Mati or Abheda, something like that. Our Siddhanta is like very deep, too deep. You get drowned. You can try to swim in the ocean of Gaudiya Siddhanta and you end up drowning. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. This is what is told. Shakti Shakti Matura Beda. So this is Krishna Shaktiman and Radha Shakti are non-different. This is from Vedanta Sutra. Shakti, Shakti Matura Bheda. In other words, it's capsulized knowledge. Concentrated wisdom. That's Sutra. There is no difference between the energetic Krishna and the energy, Radha. The potent and the potency. The powerful and the power. Shaktiman Sri Krishna and Shakti Srimati Radhika. And this, then along the same lines, this verse is given also in Adi Leela 4:96-98 by Krishna's Kaviraj. He says, Radha Purna Shakti Krishna Purna Shakti Man Dui Vastu Bedanai Shastra Paraman Mrigamada Taraganda Yachi Yavichade Agni Jwala Te Yaiche Kabu Nahibed Radha Krishna Ichi Sada Hekai Sarup Lila Rasa Ashwadite Dari Duhi Rup. His translation. Sri Radha is the full power. Radha Purna Shakti. And Krishna is the possessor of full power. Krishna Purna Shaktiman. The two are non-different. Dui Vastu Beda Nai. These two vastus, these two substances, these two realities. The two are not different, as evidenced by revealed scriptures. Shastra Praman. In Bengali they say Paraman, which means Praman. Radha and Krishna are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable. Like you have this musk as part of the navel of the deer, forest deer, kasturi. So if you have that that kasturi, then you have that scent. You can't separate, it has that smell. Just like if you have garlic or you have onion. If you have an onion, you can't take, you know, if you cut an onion, then the smell is part and parcel. You can't take it out. It's going to make a big stink. It's there. Whereas fire and its heat are non-different. Radha and Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. Radha Krishna Aiche Sada Eki Isarup Lila Ras Ashwadite Dare Dui Rup. So Ashwadana, to taste Lila Ras and Dare, they're holding, or they've taken Dui Rup, two forms. So what's your question?
This morning,
Copy Pranada.
Yeah. During his class, he told, if one person has, even devotee, he has some material desire, and he engages himself in devotional praise, then after some few days, a few years, he fell down from his devotional position. But according to Chaitanya Chaitanya, Lord said, if anyone engages himself in devotional service and if he has some material desire, I never fulfill his material desire. I purify that person and give him to my lotus feet. So how both are different. He told it with a material desire. He engaged ourselves in devotional service, then he called out.
Yeah. Well, everything is true. We have to understand the synthesis, that's all. Because in the Bhagavatam itself, is encouraging everyone to worship Krishna. Sometimes people, they worship Krishna not for pure love, but out of material desire. So that verse is there. I don't know if it's here. A lot of these verses, they don't have the same verses here. Yeah, they have that one. I think you must have heard it so many times. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaridi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. This is from Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3:10. It's also in Madhya Leela and Sanatana Shiksha. Mahaprabhu cites the same verse. Whether one is desireless, full of desires for sense enjoyment, or desires liberation from material bondage, if he's intelligent, he should worship the Supreme Person through intense and unalloyed cultivation of Bhakti Yoga. So here it's telling that you have material desires to worship Krishna. You worship Krishna and say, oh, I'm worshiping Krishna, I'm chanting your holy name, I'm doing puja. Now please fulfill my desire, I want this or that. So Krishna will fulfill your desire. And you'll get that. And then you say, oh, that's very nice, Krishna fulfilled my material desire. Let me try some more material desires. So as you continue to approach Krishna, there's two things going on. One thing is, by contacting bhakti, even in a reflected form, it's called bhakti avas. It's not pure bhakti. That bhakti actually is acting, Bhakti Devi herself is actually purifying your heart by her contact. And secondly, because Krishna's a person, and he actually wants to give what he really wants to give, although he gives you whatever you're asking for, he wants to give himself, he wants to give his love. But we're expressing love for his energy and not for his person. Because material objects are Krishna's energy also. So we're expressing our love for Krishna's energy. I love your car energy. I love your woman energy. I love your money energy. So we're praying for those things and doing bhakti. Those are material things. So Krishna fulfills those desires. We get those things. But those things are keeping us fallen from pure bhakti. We're not getting pure bhakti. But at the same time, although Krishna rewards us and gives us these material objects, by contacting bhakti we're getting purified. And then Krishna personally, he has sympathy. He's compassionate. So he is sympathetic. So he fulfills the material desires of the disciples in such a way, I mean if someone has some sincerity, that they lose their material desire. So by desiring material things and worshipping Krishna, yes, you fall away. You fall away from the pure devotional path. So Gopi Pranadana is correct. But you're still praying to Krishna and getting your material things, so bhakti is still coming with you to some extent. So you're getting purified. And then it's not that you fall away forever, because when Krishna wills on his own free will, he says, alright, okay, you played enough. Now, and he takes away. So all that's how everything's adjusted. That because Krishna is telling him, oh, I read the Bhagavatam, and even some preachers told me, oh, you want material things, you should just worship Krishna. Why are you worshiping Shiva? Even you can preach like that. This is Bhagavatam. You can preach like, oh, Krishna is a kama sarva kamava. You have all desires or no desires, anything. Any moksha, the jnanis and yogis, they want moksha. We don't want moksha. We want birth after birth. We only want Shuddha Bhakti, yeah. Prima Bhakti. So the jnanis and karmis are also wanting moksha. That's also a material desire. That's also against pure love. But so we're saying, well, don't do bhakti. Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam. So they do it. So even Bhagavatam is telling, yes, worship Krishna. So they get their material desires fulfilled, but then they're contacting bhakti, so they start saying, well, maybe I don't really want that. And then if Krishna wills, because he's free, he's an autocrat, he's a transcendental autocrat, he can act as he likes. If he wills, then he can say, all right, this person is actually pretty sincere in their heart of hearts. But somehow they become bewildered by bad association. And are manifesting all these material desires, but I'm going to change everything. And I'm going to put them back on the pure devotional path. So there's no loss in this endeavor. Krishna himself says that. So whether we approach Krishna through Karma Mishra Bhakti or Gyan Mishra Bhakti or Shuddha Bhakti or Rupa Siddha Bhakti, Sangha Siddha Bhakti, this is all good. Neha Vikrama Nashasti Pratyavayona Vidyate Swapamapi Siddharmasya Chayate Mahatubhaya. It's all good because it saves one. The greatest fear is to be bewildered by karma or jnana. So these are coverings, avritam. These are coverings of pure bhakti. So Krishna doesn't allow that. If someone does any kind of bhakti, then Krishna ultimately saves them.
Yeah.
So many examples. Dhruva, Gajendra, etc.
Yeah.
Chaturvidha, Bhajadimam, Janus, the four Kumaras.
Yeah.
Shukadeva, there's so many examples of those that get, you know, detoured or get sidetracked. Then they get on the right track by Krishna's mercy. So, do you understand that or what?
Yeah.
Is it clear? Or?
Yeah.
We have to try to find, like, especially with some senior devotees speaking, we have to try to find the harmony and the synthesis. If there's some fault or some discrepancy, it lies with us. It lies with our inability to, because who are we? You know, our ego makes us think we're everything.
Yeah.
And we're really big and we're really smart and we really know a lot. I'm Mr. Know-it-all. Who is this guy? What is he saying? But we have to look deeply, especially if someone you know, very advanced devotee and seemingly, you know, senior person is speaking, especially the chief translator for the Bhagavatam and one of the leading, you know, senior translators of the BBT books, yeah. And who not only can translate Sanskrit, but he speaks in Sanskrit. He can speak 24 hours a day in Sanskrit.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to speak any other language, so he certainly knows something about Sanskrit. And usually if being a Gaudiya Vaishnava, and history has shown it, he knows a lot about Tattva also. So if you didn't address the question directly to him, which would be the best, whenever there is some doubt about someone's presentation, and you ask them, that's what, you know, excuse me. Oh, but anyway, but the general mood of a devotee is that he tries to think deeply about what the person said and try to see how, yes, it's right what he said, now it's for me to understand how it's right. Because the higher the devotee, the more deep the things they say. And they may submerge us in bewilderment because we don't have the swimming power to catch their wave, catch the vibration or the wave that they're sending out. But obviously, though he has material desires and he dwells on them, then he'll go down. And that's also, of course, there's a lot of interesting things about all this kind of stuff. In the purports in the 10th canto of Sartadarshini by Vishwanath, and other places too, Bhakti Vivek, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that whatever happens, once a person takes initiation, whatever happens to him is Krishna's direct intervention. So if someone's continuing to harbor and hold on to material desires even after being initiated, then Krishna may let him fall down or make arrangements for him to fall down so he becomes sobers up. It's because that's what it says. That's those purports are there in Sartadarshini, that whatever that this the devotee sees and he accepts that whatever happens to him is happening. The devotee is happening to him directly by Krishna's mercy. It's not his karma. It says there's no more karma for a devotee. So then somebody said, well, how does this happen? How's that? Well, that is all Krishna's arrangement. That's how we see it. That's why astrologers have a very difficult time. Very difficult time with devotees. Most honest astrologers, which is not too many, if you ever find any honest ones. Well, if you find any honest astrologer, because every astrologer thinks he's God, and he knows everything, and that's part of their... It's like Sanskrit scholars and musicians. There's a certain group of people that think that they're... You meet some Sanskrit scholar, you say, what do you think about this Sanskrit scholar? If you ask Kusha Krata, what does he think about Gopi Pranadan? Oh, he doesn't know Sanskrit. Of course, Kusha's dead now, so we shouldn't talk about it. Or if you ask Gopi, what do you think about Kusha Krata? Oh, he doesn't know Sanskrit. Or if you ask some musician, what do you think about, you know, so-and-so's mridanga playing? Ah, she doesn't know mridanga. Or you ask another person about that person's, oh, he doesn't know. So musicians and Sanskrit scholars and these people, they never usually agree on anything. So astrologers are the same way. They think they know everything. But a good astrologer, he'll say that, well, you know, you've taken shelter of Krishna. You're initiated, so it's hard for me to say. Because I only see here your karmic template, your karmic, you can say, the destiny. I don't know, that I can only see this star and that star. But when you're under the superstar, when you're serving the superstar, the Paramnayak is a superstar, Krishna, then he's Krishna Chandra. You're under a different moon. You're not under Chandrama. You're under Krishna Chandra and Gaura Chandra. So honestly, I can say what maybe could happen, but I can't be sure. And it's actually a fact. So that's why a lot of devotees get really frustrated when they bank their whole life on some stupid astrologer. Oh, the astrologer said between 27 and 30 I have to get married. You know, all my stars are in the marriage thing, and I gotta get married, and I better do it now, and I'll become a sannyasi later. After all, you know, women are pretty nice anyway. You know. So that, and my astrologer is simply encouraging me in what I really like to do. And all these devotees are saying, no, stay single, stay brahmachari, just read books. But that's not very tasty. So, I like this. I'd rather bank my mind. Besides, I paid $100 for this chart. I have to throw my life away now. Because I believe it. I paid $100 to this astrologer, so I have to believe it. I don't have any choice. But the devotees, they're not charging anything for their advice. It's free. They just tell me, you know. So I just stay brahmachari and serve Guruji and everything will be alright. I'll become 30 and I'll become 35 and I'll become 50 and then I'll be too ugly and old and women won't care about me and I won't care about them. But I didn't pay anything for that in teaching. So in the Sanatana Shiksha, this is a very interesting thing where Lord Chaitanya is explaining how a devotee's body becomes transcendental. And most devotees don't believe it. It's a very important, crucial point of our philosophy about how we're not under karma anymore after diksha. Well, then how come people get sick? Because Krishna arranges it. Because some people, you look in their chart, they become, even the devotees, they say, you know, before I was a devotee, I never got sick. If I look at my chart, I have a very healthy chart, a very healthy family. And I became a devotee, I got typhoid, I got malaria. Yeah, because your false ego is so big, Krishna's trying to chop you down one way or the other. So Krishna sent you typhoid. That's kind of mean, that's nasty. Why you do that? What kind of God is he? You know, why is he giving me disease? Because you have a skin disease, ego disease, and that's going to keep you for 1,000 lifetimes in the material world. So Krishna's trying to get you out now because you came under a Param Guru and Sadguru. So he's arranging, this is Krishna's arranging. So this is actually our philosophy, but very, very few people believe this. Very few people with Kanti Mala and Tilak actually believe that I have no more karma. They're just busy like shuffling their astrology charts like a deck of cards, you know. You have a deck of cards, you know, 52 cards, ace, jack, and then, well, this astrologer, you know, this Rigo said this, you know, they take this chart and shuffle, that's called shuffling the cards. And you lay out the charts. Oh, he says I got an ace of spades. Oh, that's all right. Oh, and he says I have it, five, you know, five of hearts. Oh, that's not good. Oh, it's nine of hearts. Oh, so. But our shastras, our Gauranga, our guru Gauranga, everyone's telling different. So this is a story about how, this is from Gauranga Gita, a book we compiled. It's called Initiation, Transforms the Body. This is Leela Vichara. This is the background Leela to this teaching. Sanatana Goswami was reluctant to associate with Sri Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri because his body was covered with foul smelling sores oozing blood. So because when you have some sore and there's some yellow stuff like pus, you know, dead cells, it actually stinks. You know, it smells, you know. It's actually a stinky thing. So he had that and blood and it's just like, wow. Sanatana wanted to finish his body, which he considered most vile and offensive, by throwing himself under the wheel of Jagannath's chariot during the Rath festival. Mahaprabhu illuminated Sanatana about the transcendental position of one who has taken Vaishnava Diksha, Suniye. Prabhu Kahe, this is Anti Leela, chapter 4, text 191-201. Prabhu Kahe, that means Mahaprabhu. Vaishnavdeya Prakrita Kabunai. Vaishnavdeya Prakrita Kabunai. It's pretty easy. Yeah. Bengali. Prakrita. Yeah. The Vaishnavdeya, the body of the Vaishnava Kabunai. It's Prakriti Ne. A Prakrita Deha Bhakter Chiranandamoy. Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, the body of a devotee is never material. Kabunai. It is considered to be transcendental, full of spiritual bliss. A Prakrita Deha. A Prakrita means not Prakriti. Prakriti Deha Bhaktera Chid Anandamoy. Diksha Kale Bhaktakari Atma Samarpan Se Kale Krishna Tare Kare Atma Sam. At the time of Diksha, time of initiation, Diksha Kale, when a devotee fully surrenders unto the service of the Lord, Bhaktakari Atma Samarpan, the Lord accepts him to be as good as himself. Se Kale Krishna Tare Krishna Atma Sam. Sama means equal. You are equal to me. Oh, Krishna's body is Chinmoy, Chidanandamoy. Satchidanandamoy. So then, of course, there's obviously you can, all these words of Mahaprabhu, there's very extensive purports. There's no purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but those in no language and philosophy can employ their knowledge to explain that. Because this, he's saying, Diksha Kali Bhakta Kari Atma Samarpan. Because he's saying, at the time of Diksha, when a devotee fully surrenders under the service of the Lord. So someone might say, well, Atma Samarpan, that's not so easy. But Lord Chaitanya is saying, Diksha Kali. He's not saying Kabu, he's not saying when. Whenever you take Diksha now, but in 10 years from now or 10 lifetimes from now, when you come to the level of Atma Samarpan. Because Atma Samarpan, Arpan means worshipping, and Sama means all. And Atma means body, mind, word, I mean body, mind, soul, I mean everything you have. So when you come to the point of worshipping Krishna and offering, and Arpan means offering or worshipping, everything you have, which comes under the category of Atma, then you're Chidanandamoy. Now he's not saying that, he's saying Diksha Kali. At the time, Diksha is, you know, when you get Diksha. Say Kali Krishna Tarya, and then he says, Say Deha Kare Tara Chiranandamai Aprakrita Deha Tanra Charana Bhajai. When a devotee's body is thus transformed into spiritual existence, the devotee in that transcendental body renders service to the lotus feet of the Lord. That's Diksha, because, you know, before Diksha, we are in that Prakrita Deha, and we are simply operating under false ego. I am the body, and we're simply enjoying, we're bogies. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, everything. Aharani Jamaitan Vayam. And then we take dictionary and say, oh, I am Krishna Das. This collar, my dog collar, my three necklaces, Kantimala, Tulsi Kantimala. I am Krishna Das. So from that day forward, I start serving Krishna. So serving Krishna is done. This is spiritual activity. Shravana Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam, puja, chanting, remembering. This is not bhog, this is seva. This is not karma, this is seva. So the karma is done with the material body. The material body engaged in karma. Seva, Krishna's seva, and Krishna's seva is only done in the spiritual body. Chidanandamoy. That's the line of reasoning Lord Chaitanya is using. Serving Krishna means spiritual. You may be in Jivan Mukta Suchite. You may have maybe spiritual eyes, like iron in the fire. You put iron in the fire. It's vastu is iron, but its action is fire. So our vastu is prakrit, but our action is chidanandamoy. Our body is made of protein, hydrogen, nitrogen, what is it? Carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, sulfur, chones. Right? These five elements combine and make protein and all these different things. But basically, the bhav that we're operating out of, the bhav and the actions that we're doing are nothing but spiritual. The bhav is the mood, the feeling, the idea, the conception. I am Krishna Das. And what am I doing? I'm serving Krishna. So that's chinmoy, that's spiritual. Spiritual bhav and spiritual activity. He goes on. There's a few verses here. About 9 verses. Now Mahabharu quotes the Bhagavatam as if his words aren't enough. Mahabharu is Krishna. But showing the ideal in the bhakta bhav of acting as the ideal bhakta. So he's preaching, but he wants to show some paraman, shastra paraman or shastra praman by citing Bhagavatam, which is the amalam puranam. This is the most important praman. 11th canto, 29:34, he says, Martyo yadatyakta samasta karma niveri tatma vichikir shitome. Tadamritattvam pratipadyamano mayat mabuyaya chakalpatevai. The living entity who is subjected to birth and death attains immortality when he gives up all material activities, dedicates his life to the execution of my order, and acts according to my directions. In this way he becomes fit to enjoy the spiritual bliss derived from exchanging loving mellows with me. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, yes, you take initiation, you promise, I'll follow these four regulative principles and I'll serve my guru. Then that's it. You're liberated, basically. And then, so now you're liberated and you're only serving Krishna. So whatever happens to you, that's happening by Krishna's arrangement. Because you're under his shelter, his guidance. Any sickness, any disease, any setback, any loss, any gain. Oh no, it's my karma, you know, if father's rich and he left me this money, so now I inherited $50,000, so I built this house. Well, that's if you think you're still in the plane of karma. Otherwise, because your father could have changed the will and given it to your older brother. But Krishna, because you're Krishna's devotee, Krishna wants you to have that house and wants you to do bhajan or whatever. So, like so many people, devotees, like sannyasis, whatever, their parents died, they get money and they build some house or bhajan kuti or whatever. So they might say that that's their karma, but we say everything is coming from Krishna. Living entity was subject to the birth and death attains immortality when he gives up all material activities and dedicates his life to the execution of my order and acts according to my directions. So my, in this case, means guru, Acharya Mambijanayam. Krishna is telling, although he's speaking, Krishna is speaking this verse to Uddhava. This is Uddhava Gita in 11th canto. But he's the same Krishna speaking the same verse to Uddhava where he says, that my order is guru agya, guru seva. He says, execution of my order means Krishna's order means the guru's order, and acts according to my directions means the guru's directions. So as soon as you're acting under guru's order, then you're immortal. You're immortal, and you're in your immortal body. It's just like a snake; his new body is there, but his old body is like dried up body, molting. It's like sitting on top of him, and he crawls through the bushes, and it gets caught on the stickers, and it gets caught, and then the skin just gets left behind. So our immortal body is already there in the making, as long as we're engaged in service. Sanatanera dehi Krishna kandu upajana amaparikshite ihan dila patan. Gauranga said, Krishna somehow or other manifested these itching sores in the body of Sanatan Goswami and sent him here to test me. So someone say, hey, how he got itching sores? Let's look at his chart. Let's look at Sanatan Goswami's Janma Kundali. Does it indicate he's going to get a skin disease when he goes through Jarikan forest at the age of 61 or 41? This is very important verses because frankly speaking, 99 out of 100 devotees don't believe in this idea. It's a fact. They say, oh, it's my karma, it's my destiny, it's my chart, it's my stars, it's my planets. He says, Sanatara Dehi Krishna Kandu Upajana. Krishna somehow or other manifested these itching sores in the body of Sanatana and sent him here to test me. Greenakari Alingana Nakari Tama Jabe Krishna Tani Aparara Danda Paitama Tabe. Mahavru says, if I hated Sanatana Goswami and had not embraced him, I would certainly have been chastised for my offenses to Krishna. Just see. Because if you're on a platform of karma, you say, oh, you stink. Your body stinks and you're all your bad karma. Get out of here. Take your bad karma and get out of here. Your stinky body and your disease. Get out. Come back when you're healthy. Come back. But Lord Chaitanya is saying, if I didn't embrace him, that would be an offense of Krishna. I mean, it'd be I would be chastised for my offenses to Krishna. I would be offensive to Krishna if I didn't embrace him, because he's Krishna's devotee. And this, whatever has happened to his body has been sent by Krishna. Krishna has done it. So this body of the devotee is actually Krishna. Krishna's Naam, Rup, Gun, Leela, Parikar, they're all transcendental. Dham, Parikar, they're all completely transcendental. They're equal in one sense. So the devotee is also Krishna. So if Krishna comes and I don't embrace him, then that's certainly offensive. So now Krishna's devotee. So if I see, when you get better and your body doesn't have any stinky wounds on it, then when you come back, I'll embrace you. Because we see this duality in material consciousness. Oh, this girl's nice, I'll embrace her. Oh, this girl's ugly, fat, and pimples all over her face, I want to embrace her. Get out from here. This is, there's some duality, dwandva. But in spiritual consciousness, then you see these are what to speak of when a devotee like Sanatana Goswami is coming. And then you just see, and you see Krishna's hand in everything. Oh, he's coming like this. Oh, last time he came to see me, I embraced him. He was nice. Oh, now he's thinking, oh no, you stay away. No, he's the same jiva, the same spirit soul. And he's in the same spiritual body, but now his spiritual body, or his spiritualized body, let's say, is covered by this apparent disease, which was somehow or other sent by Krishna to test me. Very interesting. If I hated Sanatana Goswami, had not embraced him, I would be chastised for offenses to Krishna. I would. Lord Chaitanya is saying that Krishna would have chastised me. Parishadadeya e nahaya durganda pratama divase paila chatusama ganda. Sanatana Goswami is one of the associates of Krishna. There could not be any bad odor from his body. Parishad deha, nahaya durganda. On the first day I embraced him, I smelled the aroma chatusama. That means four fragrances. Sandalwood, camphor, aguru, and musk. So, you know, Lord Chaitanya is not seeing that external thing. Because the spiritual body is very fragrant, and that's really, when one is engaged in Krishna's service, it's the spiritual body. Vastuta prabhu jabe kaila alingana tanra sparshe ganda haila chanda narasama. In fact, however, when Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatana's body, by the Lord's touch alone, there manifested a fragrance exactly like that of sandalwood pulp. You can imagine. Lord Chaitanya embraces it. Prabhu kahe, Sanatan na maniha dukha tomara alingane ami pai bhadasukha. Mahaprabhu said, Sanatan, don't be aggrieved, for when I embrace you, I actually get pleasure. Bhadasukha. Not only, I get great pleasure. Bhadasukha. Alingane. Evatsara tumi ihan raha amasane vatsara rahi tamare ami paitamu vrindavan. Stay with me at Jagannath Puri for 1 year, and after that I shall send you to Vrindavan. Etabali punatanre kaila alingan kandugela angahoila suvarnerasam. After saying this, Mahaprabhu again embraced Sanatan. Thus, immediately Sanatan's sores disappeared and his entire body resembled the color of gold. So now we have to think, now what is all this lila? What is this lila between the Lord and his devotees? So it's for us. Now you have it, now you don't. His body is golden and it's beautiful. He's a Brahmin. Saraswat Brahmin, very beautiful features, aristocratic features, high class features, Sanatana Goswami. Then gets covered, his body gets covered with some wounds, and then he gets then they're like a dream, then they're gone. Lord Chaitanya embraces them, gone. So this is the same thing in a devotee's life. A devotee exhibits something for a moment, then it's not there. But the unchangeable background is a devotee's body is spiritual, a prakriti vastu, a prakriti deha. The body that he's serving in is spiritual. That's eternal. The soul is serving through the agency of this material body. So the body may get covered with this disease, or this infirmity, or that infirmity, or this ache, or that pain. And Krishna is doing that to educate that devotee or to educate others. Like Prabhupada, he didn't need any education. But at the end of his life, his body was wrecked with so many diseases. His kidney didn't work, and his heart, and so many problems apparent. But that wasn't, Krishna didn't send those diseases to educate Prabhupada. Right? So Sanatana Goswami, he didn't get these diseases to educate him. And Lord Chaitanya didn't need an education. Who's it for? It's for us. Yeah. This is Lord Chaitanya's guru. He's teaching the principles of Shuddha Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. So this is a very cardinal principle, important principle to understand that devotee has no karma. Dikshakali. This is very... I read these things and it's hard for me to believe myself. And I'm such an atheist. And I tend to... This is a spiritual reality. But we think, oh, it's because of this, because of that. Diksha kale bhaktakari atma samapan se kale krishnatari kari atma sam. A prakriti deha. So what is your feedback? Come on. That's why we always say everything's Krishna's mercy, the story of the king and the minister. You know that story? You know the story of the king and the minister?
Yeah.
You know that one? It's always a good one. The king and the minister. Well, this king had a very religious and pious minister, advisor. And he was really religious, and he was always saying, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's mercy. So one day he was with the king, and the king was practicing archery. Was practicing shooting his bow and arrow, archery. And somehow something happened, and the string came in such a way, it cut off the king's thumb. And then when the minister saw that, oh, Krishna's mercy. He cut your thumb, cut off, it's really Krishna's mercy. And the king was like bleeding and pain and suffering and pain. He said, what are you nitwit? You know, what is this? You say this is Krishna's mercy. I cut my thumb off. You're making a joke of me. What is this? He said, okay, well now you go to jail. You know, I'm gonna put you in the palace dungeon and feed you bread and water until I change my mind, my attitude. Or you become apologetic or whatever. And then again, the minister said, oh, Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy, I'm going to jail. I'm going to the dungeon. I was just looking forward to getting bread and water. Because the minister eats with the king. They have lunch together. The king eats chapan bhog. He doesn't eat alone. He eats with his minister. He's his prime minister. He's his main minister to the emperor. So they share everything together, practically. Same facility, same opulence, same food. Like he's like an assistant king. So now he's in a dungeon, eating bread and water. So now the king goes on a hunting expedition with maybe by himself. Somehow he goes out doing some kind of hunting or whatever. And then in the forest he gets caught by some dacoits, some gundas in the forest. They capture the king. And they were worshippers of Kali Bhairav. A very ferocious form of Durga, Kali Bhairav. So they wanted to make a Manush Yajna, human sacrifice. So they took the king and they bathed him in a river, and then they anointed him with fragrant, you know, perfumes and whatever, and put a flower garland. Then they took him before the goddess Kali, and they're going to chop his head off and offer his head to goddess Kali. And they're chanting all the mantras, proper mantras for this, rather, gory sacrifice, human sacrifice. And then right when the executioner was about to chop the head off the king with a big special chopper, silver or gold chopper they used, he said, oh no, stop, stop, stop. And the king's body was just lying there naked to be chopped. He said, he's not fit, we can't offer him. And they said, why? Because he's not complete. It's a aparad because his finger is missing. They said, oh. So then they released him. They said, just get out from here. And they were so disgusted, they just let him go. They maybe slapped him a little bit, whatever. And he was running back to the palace. And he was thinking, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's mercy. And then he immediately went to the dungeon. He let out the minister. And he said, okay, I had an experience of Krishna's mercy today. I was saved from being killed. My head almost got chopped off. So now I understand how I got Krishna's mercy. Krishna saved me. So I'm starting to understand something about your outlook, your philosophy. But how is it that you're in jail all these days? How is it Krishna's mercy that you went to jail? I can't see that. I don't understand. He said, well, generally, wherever you go, you always take me. And if you and I were both went to the forest and the dacoits caught us and they saw that you were not suitable to offer, then they would have seen that I have all my fingers and toes. They would have chopped my head. So, but Krishna had me locked in the jail, in the dungeon. So therefore it was Krishna's mercy that you threw me in the dungeon. Otherwise I have no head right now. So in this way, it's Krishna's mercy. So this story illustrates the point in discussion that we should see everything and understand everything to be Krishna's mercy. It's not my karma and my destiny. And as the karmis, speaking of karma, the karmis or the fruit of workers, the materialistic people, they spend hours and years discussing this great philosophical debate about free will versus destiny. Where does destiny retire and free will take over, or is everything destined, or is there free will, or is there interplay of both? And so we say that free will is the nature of the jiva, of independence. That the jiva, as he comes up the evolutionary scale in consciousness and gets a suitable form, as the consciousness evolves and the jiva gets a higher form, life form, for example, human form, then his free will is maximized. He gets more free will as he gets a higher life form. But nevertheless, when one surrenders to Krishna, then that's what he surrenders. He surrenders his free will. And then free will means unlimited area of choices for sense gratification. And then the destiny is what's the limit of those choices? The analogy is given: you get a ticket for Bombay, Delhi Bombay air ticket, one way. So the plane is going there. So that's your destiny. Your destiny is you have 50 years to live, and you have this much education, this much Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir, so much knowledge, such a birth, Nisvarna, and this ashram, Nisvarna, this education, this wealth, this beauty, this bodily beauty, this strength, weakness. This is your destiny. Now free will is what to eat, what not to eat. There are some. So on the plane, for example, the destiny part is that the plane is definitely going from Delhi to Bombay. That's fixed. Now when you got on the plane, the stewardess says, free seating. There's no fixed seating. Sometimes they have free seating. You sit wherever you want. Oh, you sit over here. That's your choice. That's your free will. Oh yes. It's not destined. It's not destined that you sat in this chair. Because you might sit there for 2 minutes and say, well, let me go over there. So there's no destiny not controlling every breath you take. Or every move you make is not controlled by destiny. Then a lady comes and says, and then you sit, and so happens you sit next to some devotee. And then he's preaching to him about being a vegetarian. Then a lady comes and says, would you like veg or non-veg? And normally you would say, oh, I want non-veg. But you say, oh, I'm with this guy, you know. Today I'll try a veg. So you made a choice. You tried veg. So there's some choices, but it's not so many choices, but some choices. Now that's in the field of karma, or material activity. But when one surrenders to Krishna, then that free choice, he surrenders to Guru. And destiny is in Krishna's hands. That's where Krishna's mercy. Whatever happens to me is not my destiny, is not my karmic Janma Kundali destiny, it's Krishna's will. It's Krishna's will. He's controlling whatever happens to me, so it's Krishna's mercy, whatever happens to me. And my free will, as I submit my free will, my so-called free will, I submit it to Guru. My will becomes the will of the Guru. My will, my choice and my will becomes the will of the Guru. What does the Guru want? What choice does he have? My choice is that you stay here and distribute books. Oh, yeah, but my free will is to get out of here. My free will is to stay in it, be head vajari and eat all the mahaprasadam. But you're telling me that I have to go out and distribute books now and that my pujari days are over. So this, our free will is, that's part of the submission to Guru, as we submit our free will. So we still, as devotees, we also have free will and destiny. The destiny is in Krishna's hands, not our karmic, not the astrologer's hands. Whatever Krishna wants to do with us, he does. Rake Krishna Marake, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. Krishna wants to protect me, no one can kill me. If Krishna wants to kill me, no one can protect me, not even my astrologer. And then our free will is in Guru's hands. So we still have free will, but Guru's controlling it. And we still have destiny, but Krishna's controlling that. So this is the life of a devotee. That's why it becomes Chinmaya Deha, a Prakriti Vastu.